This episode is brought to you by Good Life Nutrition, developed by athletes like you. Whether you are looking for race day nutrition, daily electrolytes, or your daily protein, Good Life Nutrition has you covered. Built on science and backed by common sense, it's why professional athletes like Ben Canute, Jason West, and many others have made the switch. Enjoy 25% off your first order by using promo code SLOWTWITCH. Just go to fuelyourgoodlife.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the SlowTwitch podcast. My name's Kevin McKinnon, and I'm here with Ben Snyder McGrath. We're on the SlowTwitch side of things, and today we have a very special guest. He's a two-time Olympic silver medalist. He's won 70.3 races, WTCS races, actually T100 too, I guess I can add to that list. He's a seven-time All-American runner, collegiate runner. Morgan Pearson, welcome to our Slow Twitch podcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So we're planning on bombarding you with a wide range of all the different things you've done in sports and everything, but wanted to get started with just, you know, if we could, just going back to how you got into triathlon, because I think you're a little bit later getting into certainly the elite level of things.
Yeah, exactly. So I grew up as a swimmer. My mom kind of threw us all my brothers and I into swim practice at a pretty young age. I want to maybe first grade, second grade, something like that. Can't even remember. And that was, you know, that was something I did to the end of high school. I was never the fastest, but I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed the team aspect, the, you know, kind of like working hard, just the competitive nature. And then in middle school, I kind of started running a little bit with middle school cross country, and then kind of like as the years went, got more and more into the running. By the time I was like a sophomore in high school, I was basically doing both full time. And then I kind of had to decide between running and swimming. And then my junior year, I kind of had a big breakout in cross country, made all state, made national meet and stuff. So yeah, I basically went really focused on running from there to like the end of college. I did kind of stick to swimming to the end of high school. And then, yeah, I went to college, competed for the University of Colorado, was pretty good, maybe not great. And, you know, I graduated, I kept running a little bit, was working some jobs, and, I decided, just started 2018, I was going to go all in on triathlon, with the goal of making the 2020 Olympics. I mean, it was, you know, looking back, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. Look, it's what a goal, like only a couple of years in the sport to try to go for that. Yeah. But like you said, I was a bit, you know,
how hard could it possibly be?
Yeah. I mean, there were some things that, you know, I was confident in myself. Like I had, there's certainly some things that like led me to make that decision, that I had a good chance, you know, because for me, I was like, I can either try to make it in running, and in my mind, that seemed like more of a long shot than making it in triathlon, even though I'd never done a sport. But that's just how it goes sometimes, huh?
So I think USA Triathlon, like you were part of their kind of college recruitment program, right? Like they've done an amazing job of finding people like you, people with swimming backgrounds who are amazing runners. No names mentioned, just... Okay, we'll mention it. Gwen Jorgensen, added your name to that list. Like they've done an amazing job of finding people like yourself to take to the Olympics.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say I actually reached out to them initially, but honestly, like, yeah, like because I was running and I was trying to run, and I actually got a little contract with a small. Well, they're not that small in China, but there's a Chinese brand. And so I was a pro runner for a little. And, but it was tough. I mean, they weren't paying me enough to like live off fully. I had to work, and it was just like, it was tough. Like I was doing these jobs, running, I got injured, and I was like, cause I think it was just too much time on my feet and all this other stuff. And, I think I was jumping in the pool a little, and I reached out to them, but I will say I was just sending out feelers, and they did a good job recruiting me and kind of like encouraging me to go all in and saying, hey, we're going to support you. So, I think they that was huge. Yeah. And like, it was like the recruitment program that, Barb Lindquist, Bobby McGee, those were two of the big players in recruiting me to just like give up on the running dream a little bit and go for triathlon.
And so you had the swimming and the running background, but what made you think like, you know, I'm gonna go for this? What made you reach out to them?
Like I said, I was a pretty good runner in college. I think my best finish at NCAAs was a fifth place, which is good. Like that's not bad at all. But I think, I think I just was like, there's a couple things that happened. I mean, I'll give a name of Matt McElroy. He's a guy who I raced in college, and like, we were pretty competitive. Sometimes I beat him, sometimes he'd beat me, but I didn't even know him at the time. Like now we're actually good friends, but at the time he was just, a guy I'd see at races and, I'd said hi to him, whatever, but we weren't friends or anything. And, I saw he was like, I didn't really know about the sport, but in the time he was like getting on the podium at some World Cups. And I was like, wow, that guy's like, he's like, that looks pretty cool. Like he's out, I think he was doing some races in Spain and Italy and South America. And like, from the small research I did, that they were World Cup level. So second tier races. But I was like, wow, like, and like, there wasn't a ton of US guys doing that type of result at the time. So, that was one thing. You know, there's a few things that happened. And that was one of them. Like, I was like, oh, wow, this guy's really, he's setting himself up to like, do really well and be one of the top guys in the US. And like, I think with my swimming background, like maybe I can do that too.
And then, I remember learning about you and the way that the story was, it seemed like your first triathlon was like age group nationals. Did you do a race before that or was it your first race?
I raced. So actually when I was in high school and a little bit into college, I was doing lifeguarding, ocean lifeguarding, Spring Lake, New Jersey. And we used to go to, there were some local races and like, we used to just do them for fun. So I probably did like a couple, like three or four, like just, you know, I had like sneakers on the bike, you know, and I was running in the Speedo and like, you know, I wasn't training for them. Like I think I had like a bike from the 70s or something. And, you know, I was like always trying my hardest. It wasn't like I was like, messing around, but I did try a few. I mean, there were, you know, it was called Long Branch Triathlon. They were like, so I did a few of those growing up and, I wouldn't say I was like that serious about it. You know, I was just, you know, it was something to do over the summer. We do the ocean mile swims too, over the summer too. And like, you know, we do like the 4th of July 5K. It was just like another kind of fun thing over the summer to do. So yeah, the first kind of like the age group nationals, I hadn't done a triathlon since, I don't even know what year that would have been, 2012 or something, 2011. So
man,
I wouldn't even been to 2012 cause I would have been in college. So yeah, 2011, maybe even earlier, maybe 2010. So I was young and just with the lifeguards. So my, this guy, Joe Lemke, was always trying to get me to go do them. And yeah, they were fun, but I wouldn't say it was, prepare for them.
Yeah. And then, so you go to age group nationals and you win. Like, did you, were you shocked at, like, when did you take the lead? And at, like, were you like, am I in first? Like, was it like, is it crazy? Or were you just like, yeah, I expected to win this?
I mean, that's kind of a while ago now, but if I remember correctly, I was coming off an injury in running. I got injured and that was kind of, I was doing all this random stuff, working, trying to run 100 miles a week. I just decided to like go to that. I never driven cross country from Colorado to New Jersey, where I'm from. So I was like, I want to drive across, go home to New Jersey over for like a few weeks in the summer. And then I was like, that's like 8 hours into the drive. It was in Nebraska. So it was I was like, oh, this will be cool. Like, and you, at that point, USA Triathlon was a bit recruiting me. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a go. I wasn't really prepared for it in any way. Like I had been kind of back to running a little bit. USA Triathlon at that point had sent me a bike and I'd been, biking around town, just not knowing what I was doing. my friend, I worked at the feed actually that summer, and I was like, we'd go to the pool and like mess around a couple of times a week. Just, I don't even know how much, maybe like just jumping in the water and swimming laps. But I couldn't even tell you if I was doing more than like 2000 at a time. But, so I went there and like, I was like, you know what, this is actually good because I'm not really, not that I'm like completely out of shape, but I'm not really like fully trained, but it'll give me a good baseline of to see where I'm at, like my talent level. So that was kind of my, cause at that point, you know, I was like, if I want to actually do this and go for, Tokyo Olympics, like I gotta have a, you know, I gotta do well here with like no training. I know that kind of sounds weird, but that was my, mindset. So yeah.
The logic.
Yeah. That logic.
The logic to the process. If I can do well when I'm really unfit, if I train, then I can go to the Olympics. How hard could it be?
Honestly, that was kind of it a little. And yeah, I mean, I went there and like the most surprising one was the swim, because I remember there was a young guy, maybe 15 or something. He was young, a lot younger than me, because by then I was like 22 or something, 22, 23 maybe. And I like was second out of the water, and I was like, wow, like I was barely swimming. And I'm like, this is, and then the bike, I was in the sprint distance, by the way. The bike was like, I was like leading to the halfway point or maybe. And then, I remember some guy came by me he had a road bike, no bars, no, like just road bike. And I passed the first guy. He was a young guy, so maybe not the best biker. And I passed him. So I was leading the bike for a while. And then this one guy comes by and he kind of said something like, oh, nice swim. He said, nice swim. And I was like, and at that point I was like, it was deep enough into the bike where I was like he's not gonna get that big a lead on me. And I was like, I gotta unleash on this guy on the run, because at that point I was like, running was my thing. And he was wearing just a Speedo, so I was like, he was easy to remember who it was. And so I think like getting on the, I think a few guys came by me on the bike, but I had only the road bike. And I remember going up, there was like a little hill, or like a few little hills. And I remember like going up the hills, I was passing the guys. It was the flats, the downhills where they lose time. And, you know, I was like, okay, aerodynamic. Like, I was like, maybe if I had a TT bike or whatever, I could be doing even better. Well, obviously I could be doing even better, but like it was the encouragement I needed. Cause I was like, okay, like I'm at least like not like doing so bad on the bike. And then like we got to the run and I just like, it was a 5K, so you just go. And I remember passing that guy. I didn't say anything like that. But we were the first, because I think the age group national is kind of staggered, but we were the first ones to go off. So I did cross the line in first. So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
And so it's not a long jump from there to where you're heading down. It looks to me like your first World Cup event was in Mooloolaba. Like you're it's not a big jump to where you're suddenly in Australia racing.
Yeah. That was in March, I think March 2018, excuse me. Yeah. I mean, so at that point I was like, I kind of had to take a look in the mirror and be like, okay, do I stick with running or do I go in all on this triathlon thing? And I think just the allure of the Olympics, and obviously USA Triathlon's like, you know, maybe blowing a little smoke and hyping me up a little, you know, which I guess that's one way to get someone to commit. So then I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I spent some time in Colorado like for a few more months and did some running races. But December 2018, or I guess it would have been December 2017. I moved out to Arizona, like packed up my stuff, drove out there, and was training with like the Canadian national team. Kevin McDowell was also there. The U.S. didn't really have a national team, but the Canadians did, and some Americans were training there. And I got linked up with them, and yeah, I mean, just trained there for that was my first season there with that group. And yeah, a few months later, I went to the Mooloolaba race. I went to New Plymouth World Cup.
Yeah.
And then I did, April, May, I did a race in China called Chengdu World Cup. And then my fourth race was a WTS in Yokohama. My fourth, boat race, which is like looking back kind of nuts, but it was a good way to see where the level's at, you know?
Well, and it wasn't like you weren't finishing at the back of those fields. Seventh in Mooloolaba, mm-hmm. you were 14th at your first WTC, or I guess, yeah, it was Yokohama. Would that have been a World Triathlon Championship Series? I can't remember when they changed that name.
It was.
And all that stuff. But yeah, like, that's pretty amazing. You must have sort of, that must have been, did it feel like, okay, I made the right call in terms of moving on from running?
Yeah, because like at that point, I was like, I'll just be honest, the U.S. men weren't super strong for the Olympic distance stuff. So at that point, I was like, I can actually make the team. Because like in Yokohama, I think everyone was there, pretty much all the U.S. men. Maybe not Ben Canute, who was kind of like 1 foot out at that point. But I was like, and I hate to say like top American, like that's kind of, I don't love that term because my goal is to be top of everyone. But at the time I was, okay, I'm beating some of these guys, like I'm beating all of them right now. Like maybe I can actually make the team. So yeah, like certainly, you know, it's funny because you say those results, but then like if you look even further, I think I kind of got lucky maybe at the beginning, and then I'd had some tougher results kind of the rest of the year. I think I got
lapped.
Well,
you did win in Montreal at the end of
2018.
Continental Cup. But.
Yeah, but then like I went to Leeds, and I wasn't even supposed to do the race in Leeds, but there was a relay at that season, and I was the alternate, so I was there as an alternate for the relay. And the race wasn't full, so I asked USA Triathlon if I could just sign up for the WTS. They were like, sure, because I was already there. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't a cost to them. And yeah, I got lapped out. So that was like one race where I'll, yeah, that was tough. But, you know, looking back, it's like, well, I hadn't really been doing it for that long. It kind of makes sense. But yeah. It was a really hot start, solid start, and then kind of like fell off a little. And then the end of my season, I was doing a little bit better. It was a cool first year. I mean, looking back, it's just interesting to like look at that stuff and see it, because it's been so long now and I feel more experienced and
And how was it financially? Like, were you sort of able to make ends meet because USA Triathlon is helping out? Are you finding some sponsors? WTCS racing is not huge in the U.S. You know, like, I'm sure if you went into a sponsor, they're like, well, how many Ironmans have you done?
Yeah, well, that's still the case, huh? I was young and I had saved up a little money the year before. And I will say USA Triathlon was extremely supportive, like traveling to races, paying for the coach. Pretty much they like covered my cost of living, which was
okay.
Obviously a huge investment for them, but you know, it did kind of help me. And then by the end, I actually did qualify for the national. That was actually one of the things I was most proud of, was like my first season, I qualified for the national team. I think I had to get like top five, like I think between getting top 15 in a WTS and then two top fives in World Cups, I got on the bronze level national team, which it's not a ton of money, but like I didn't need a ton of money. Like I didn't have a huge expenses. And then, you know, there's some pride, you know, like not that it's much, but like I raced a ton that year. I raced a ton, and like every race I made a little bit of prize, you know, like you make like $2,000 here, $1,000 here, have a good race, maybe you make $4,000. Like it adds up a little bit over the season, you know? So it's not, you know, I wasn't rolling in the dough, but it was enough to support the dream, I'd say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like, you know, you're so, so new to the sport. Were you like nerves wise mentally, your first race in Australia and then the races after that, like, were you shaking in your boots? You're like, what am I doing here? Or were you just like, so did it all happen so quickly that you just didn't have time to even really get nervous? Or what was it like?
I mean, honestly,
I know it was so long ago.
Yeah, no, I do. I have a great story, but I remember Mooloolaba was the first race, and it's an ocean swim, and there's some solid waves on the beach. And I remember, like, I was very nervous, and especially on the bike, because you in running, you know, you run in a pack, but you're not going 30 miles an hour. And like, honestly, I've crashed enough, and I had crashed in training, and it was more like I didn't want to like take other people out, you know, like I didn't want to be, dangerous, because like you always know there's like a dangerous guy in the pack, and you don't want to be that guy. But I remember before the first race, I was a little bit nervous about that. I was like, I've never been in a real bike race, which maybe I should have done some. But I remember going to the pre-race swim, and like there's all these waves, and I just remember seeing some athletes like really struggling in the water, like really like they're scared of the waves. Maybe they couldn't even get out. And then this is a World Cup, so there's not like, it's not like the top end talent, but I just remember being like, well, I grew up like on the beach, surfing, lifeguarding, body surfing, like this is like my second home. And like, it kind of calmed me down, because I'm like, well, at least I have that going for me, you know, like, you know, like I'm certainly a little bit nervous about the bike section, but like, I'm not worried about this swim. It looks fun to me, you know? So that was kind of a calming for me. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so from there, you know, you've got a really quick turnover. In theory, it should have been 2 years, and in practice, it ended up being 3 years to the Olympics. Can you tell us a little bit about that first Olympic experience in Tokyo? Because it seems like it was, you know, heck, I never came 42nd at the Olympics, but I sort of get the feeling that might have been a disappointment. And then a few days later, you are a silver medalist. Like, is it sort of this mix of two incredible different levels of excitement or emotion? Sorry.
Yeah, like, yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, I'll be, the first Olympics was really emotional for me. You may or may not know, but I had an older brother who passed away in March of 2021. So that was an extremely emotional time. Like, even now, I'm just like, it still kind of like gives me chills in my body thinking about it, because here I am, like, trying to achieve a dream, you know, that I've been, you know, even when I was young in a swim practice, like, you know, the Olympics is the highest level. So I was like I was really going for that goal, and like, I was accomplishing that, but I also was still grieving over my brother. So I think it took a lot out of me. And I remember going to the individual race, and just like, I remember that whole race, I just had no energy, like nothing on the bike. The swim was fun. It was just a hard race to get through. And, you know, in the moment you're like, oh, what did I do wrong in training? And certainly we might've made some mistakes, this and that. But like, I think a few years away now, it's like, I was dealing with a lot, and just to make it there was, you know, I'm proud of myself for that. Honestly, on the run, I kind of shut it down. I remember, like, I was just like, the relay's not that far off, and I just was like, I'm not doing anything in this individual. Let me just shut it down for the relay. So, so then the relay came, and, you know, we got a medal. I thought my leg was pretty strong. I was really proud of the team. Like, it was, and that was just like, yeah, I mean, you, that's not even like, I don't even know when I started at this sport, if like that was something I believed I could do, is like stand on the Olympic podium. So to do that was like, it was incredible. And just an emotional too, like just everything, just an emotional time, like you said. So yeah, I mean, it's just, it was very cool to be part of that, that team. I really like that team. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing the stuff about your brother. I did know that, I had read that,
yeah.
But I was sort of a little wary to bring it up. So I appreciate you doing that, because, and if you don't mind, I'll just run through that timeline. So that's March And then you end up, did you qualify for Tokyo and Yokohama? I think with the third place in Yokohama in May. Yeah. So in a 2-month period, you're dealing with your brother passing away, you know, all of the stuff around the family. Like, what was that? What was it like? Were you even thinking, am I even going to be able to do this? Or was that just not even a consideration because your brother had been such an important part of your sports stuff?
I mean, it's hard to go back and think exactly what I was thinking, but I do know, when it first happened, I went home to New Jersey to be with my family. And like, I essentially spent a month just there. Maybe doing some light training, but like, I think the first 2 weeks I did nothing, just no training, nothing. Yeah. And then maybe the next 2 weeks I was, you know, maybe getting out on a bike and just going outside, just good for your like mental health, going for a run, that sort of thing. It was just like, yeah, like I remember my coach at the time was just like, this is, you got to go home and deal with that. Like, you got to face it head on before you like even think about trying to go for Yokohama or whatever it is. And then if you're ready, you can go there. And that was great advice because, not that I was, you know, after that month at home, not that I was, you would say, you know, I was still extremely, like, it still was a hard time, but I was able to then get into training. And like, I remember just, it was almost like, you know, maybe cliche to say, but like therapeutic, like just eat, okay. Like it was almost easy. Like I could just go to swim practice and get it done. Like it was almost just like, get it done. And like, you know, I think maybe others were, so focused on trying to make the Olympics. For me, it was just like, I just got to do this. This is like, you know, there's a level of, you know, everyone knows the feeling of like pushing yourself and you feel like exhausted, but you almost feel like better after. So I think there's a level of that going on. And like, obviously it wasn't an easy time. It wasn't, you know, easier for me to prepare for that race than anyone. It probably was harder, but I think just mentally, I wasn't overthinking it. I just was like, I'm just doing it. Like, it was very like, check the box, move on, next day type thing. And then like all the emotional energy went into just like, you know, grieving my brother, that's sort of like talking on the phone with, you know, I was talking to like a post-traumatic therapist type thing, like once or twice a week. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It wasn't an easy time. But you know, like, honestly, I've said this before, but like that's probably one of the most like I've got the medal, like I've been to the Olympics and we won medals, but like, just like qualifying for that Olympics, in that time period, like I'm really proud of myself for that. Like, and I'll never forget like that last lap in Yokohama, like knowing I was going to do it. It was COVID. So like there was no fans, but I knew my family was watching at home, and like, not that it made it any easier, with my brother being gone, but I just was like this is giving them something, and giving myself something to like, to be happy about. It was just like, it was a weird feeling. Cause like you're still, it's just like I'll never have that feeling. I mean, hopefully I'll never have that feeling again. Hopefully no one else experiences it, but it was just like, it's just like, it was an emotion. I don't think you can describe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's, well, hats off to you for getting through all of that. And so, you know, moving ahead 3 years to Paris, completely different experience. You're out of COVID and, can you talk a little bit about the 2024 experience? And I wasn't in Tokyo, but I was in Paris. And that relay was one of the most exciting things I've ever watched. I can't imagine what it was like for you watching that finish.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Paris was, it was honestly tough for me. Like, and like I talked a little bit about Tokyo, like the individual race, how I was able to kind of work past that. But I think Paris is something that I'm still figuring out because, you know, who knows if I could have won a medal there individually, but to just be like shot out the back in the swim. You know, everyone knows the river was played a huge role. And like, I felt personally, I didn't prepare, not physically, but more like tactically for the swim. Like I can think back and just that I made some huge mistakes entering like on some in through swimming through the river. And it just cost me like major time on the swim. And then I was just not in the race. So that was really tough and it's still tough, but the relay was, it was a little bit of redemption. I think for me too, it was an opportunity as like, you know, it was my, you know, obviously Taylor Nib was in, she was in Tokyo as well, but, Seth and Taylor Spivey were both, you know, new to the team. So like, it was kind of an opportunity to just like be more of a team leader. I felt like in Tokyo, like, Katie Zafiris was kind of the team leader. And I just felt, okay, let me take a little bit of a leadership role. I mean, I'm not taking any credit for, you know, anyone else's performance or anything, but like, I did like how we came together as a team. The four of us, and even Kirsten was, you know, she was great. She was there too. She was positive energy. So, to come out and like, I think we all had our doubts. At least I did. Like, you know, I was doubting myself. Some of the other teams were phenomenal. Like, and like, I'll just be honest. Like, I was like, I think we are a really good team, but you know, we hadn't really like done too well in the relay on the WTS circuit. So, I didn't have super high hopes, but I mean, I feel like once the race started and Seth kind of just like did a super solid leg, he was right where you would expect him to be. And I think for me, I just wanted to show what I could do because coming off the individual, I was like, I didn't even get a chance to like, I worked so hard going to Paris. Like I was just, everything was just all in for Paris for that one race. I didn't really care about anything else. So I just wanted to show a good race and I think I had a pretty good leg. Like it wasn't, you know, looking back, maybe some mistakes I made, but, and then, yeah, when Taylor got it, when I handed off to Taylor and we were like, I was like, I think we can definitely medal. Like I think cause I handed it off near Italy and, Portugal and then it was Germany and, Great Britain up the road. And I was like, I think we can get bronze. Like we have so much faith in Taylor Nib. Like, cause her too, like a little bit similar to me in the individual, like I think she kind of had a shocker of a swim. Like I think maybe we both didn't prepare for the water cause she's a phenomenal swimmer. So yeah, I mean, but I just had faith in her and she crushed it and we got the silver. So that was honestly, like I thought we might get bronze. I mean, cause,
well, Germany, initially yeah. It did come up as bronze, right?
And then yeah, it's funny. I still remember, I could hear
Taylor from where I was in the stand, like in the press area. I could hear Taylor saying, I got that.
Yeah. No, and, I was the same because I was standing right at the finish line and I was like, I swear Taylor was like leaning in front of her. So I was kind of like,
yeah,
you know, and Great Britain, like these guys are, they work the system a little. Like they're always bending, like not bending the rules, but like they're going up to the line. So I was like, I'll be pissed if they do something to like get the, I was like, I swear we got silver. Like, you know, it's like you can, it's so close, but when you're there, like you can see it. And yeah, incredible race for Taylor. An incredible race for Taylor Spivey and Seth too. So yeah, what a cool thing to come together as a team. I think we all were like, no one was super satisfied with their individual race. So I just was like, I think we were all happy to leave with a medal though.
I know Ben's going to ask you more about getting into the distance stuff, but just before finish up on the Olympic front, are you thinking of 2028? Are you like, cause you've only ever won a silver medal in the mixed relay. It'd be fun to go after, try and move up one spot.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to go for LA. I did race this year was, or excuse me, this past year, was, you know, it was an exploration year. We'll talk about it a little, I'm sure. But like for me, you know, the Olympics is the pinnacle of the sport. No disrespect to like 70.3 world champs or Kona world champs. Like I understand why people, you know, put that at the highest because it's such an age, you know, there's so many, you know, it's such more relatable with age groups. But for me, like the Olympics is everything. That's not to say I don't want to do those races. But I think being a 3-time Olympian is something I can dream of. And like, let's just be honest, competing in a home Olympics, that's an opportunity that, you know, you say to be an Olympian is like, most people can't do that. To compete in a home Olympics is like, you could be the best athlete ever. And maybe that your timeline just didn't line up. So yeah, there's no guarantees. I gotta start racing a little bit better short course. But it's definitely a dream of mine for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be super cool to, I mean, yeah, like you said, like, yeah, it doesn't matter if you're Michael Phelps, like he never got to do that. Yeah. And so like we mentioned, you know, after the Olympics, you dipped your toe into middle distance racing. You won 70.3 in Indian Wells. And then this past season, you split between T100 and WTCS. What went into that decision, and had you planned on that for a while, or was it not spur of the moment, but did it come up sort of unplanned, less planned than some other decisions in the sport?
Yeah, I forget exactly when I wanted to do Indian Wells. I think because one problem I have is I don't have a bike sponsor, so getting like a TT bike was, I could have bought one, but I didn't want to.
Honestly, there's lots of us who don't want to buy a TT bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I mean, here's the things, like they're expensive, extremely expensive. And then also I didn't even know if I would like, it's something I would enjoy. But luckily I was able to get a TT bike after Paris. And I was like, okay, like I want to try it and do Indian Wells. And then that went well. I mean, that went well. I was able to win, which was pretty cool. Like it's always fun to win a race. It doesn't matter the level. And then, the T100 reached out to me a few weeks after that, actually, and asked if I wanted to be, you know, the hot shot or one of the hot shots. And I thought about it and, you know, I put so much into Paris. Like it was really, and maybe in a bad way, like all consuming. And I think I felt like I was like, you know, and I was talking to people and, you know, they're like, you love this. Like you love this enough to keep doing it. But I think having some diversity in my program, like my racing program, was something that was important, because to do another full WTS season, I've had a lot of inconsistent results. A lot of that has to do with like some health problems I've had. But still, like, I just felt like mentally to go for something different, that was attractive to me. So yeah, I took the, you know, the hotshot contract, and I was just like, you know, also coming off of Tokyo, there was really only a few years to Paris. And then in 2022, I was spent most of the season injured anyways. Like I barely raced, because that year I wanted to, like, I was actually planning on doing some more running races and then some WTS. But I was just injured for so much of the, like, I was just barely racing that year. So I kind of missed that opportunity. And I was like, what a great year to just try it out. Like I thought Indian Wells was, I enjoyed it. Like, yeah, it's a lot longer. It's maybe a little bit boring at parts, compared to short, a sprint distance or a relay. But, I enjoyed it. And yeah, so I just took it, and I thought I could still do some WTS. And, I spoke with USA Triathlon and made sure, you know, they were okay with it. And I think that, you know, they were, I think they kind of got it too. And yeah, I'm glad I did it. I think doing both was, you know, there's a lot of positives from doing both. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How would you kind of evaluate, or could you maybe talk a little bit about the challenges of balancing those two things, or are there? You know, to me, they're dramatically different, but you had a bunch of, like, you know, obviously the T100, you did a bunch of those and had some huge success. We'll talk about that towards the end of the season. You know, the WTCS stuff, Certainly, you know, started out as a bit of a challenge. You had fifth in Weihai, 11th in Wollongong. So, you know, how was it to try and go back and forth between those two different things?
I think for me, the biggest thing was just having patience with the long course, because I've already done a lot of short course. And like you said, I had some really bad results throughout the season, but looking back, each one of those races was, I kind of had like an excuse until for example, go to Yokohama. I had broken my wrist and I missed like 6 weeks of swimming. And then I literally was in the pool for 2 weeks and then I went to the race. And like, we all know short course, the swim matters a lot. So it's just like, okay, like I can, that one makes sense. The net, you know, so all these WTS were, not going well, but I kind of, you know, until I got to China, I kind of like, I had a built-in excuse. So, but I knew, I wanted to stick with the short course because I do want to go for LA. And like, even if the results weren't there, I still had to stick with it. Because obviously like, well, it's just like, you don't want to leave, in my opinion. Like, you always want to stay connected. And then, the ranking points is a huge factor in qualifying. So,
right.
The WTS was almost more of a, how do you say, like, try to do my best, but know that there was going to be some ups and downs by doing the long course. And then the long course, or middle distance, however you might say, for me, it was about improvement. That was all I cared about this past year. Like, I knew, let's be honest, Indian Wells or whatever it's called now, La Quinta, that's not a high level race. Like, let's just be honest. Like, the top guys are doing 70.3 worlds, are doing 2 100s. So for me, I was like, that was a great race, get the win. But I know when I go to my first T100, like, it's probably gonna be a shock to the system. And I'm just, all I can do is leave each race and try to learn something, get a little bit better. And that was my mindset for the race. And it was really nice mindset to have, because I didn't do awful at the beginning. I got eighth in San Francisco. I got seventh in Vancouver. But it was just like, if when your only goal is
sixth in French Riviera,
yeah, so you sixth went, in France.
Kept moving up one spot in your first three.
Most yeah, exactly.
People would say, and that's like, pretty good.
Yeah, and I was, you know, not, there's only 20 people in the race, but it's 20 really good athletes, or at least like 10 really good athletes, 15, maybe some of the last guys are like last minute adds. Whatever, no disrespect to them, but when the only goal is improvement, like that's very that's easy pill to swallow. And like, I was doing that, and so it was a lot of, honestly, the T100 season was a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoyed not having that pressure on myself and just racing with like that beginner mindset, and I really enjoyed it.
And you might be sick of talking about it at this point, but could you take us through your win at T100 Dubai and just the like insanity that occurred?
So T100 Dubai was, by then the short course was over and I was just all in on long course. So that was, first off, that really helped, I think, or not really helped, but it did help. And the race was kind of going as they had gone. The biggest difference was some of the guys who, like, I think the swim was actually pretty fast that day. So some of the guys like Mika Newt and who was with Mika? Oh, yeah. Some of the guys were just basically like, they closed the gap on me on the bike and passed me, but they weren't so far ahead on me that I couldn't catch them on the run. So then you go. Right. So basically what happened for me, so I can only speak from my experiences. Like, I was the first on the bike. I was doing pretty well on the bike, staying with the lead group with Martin Van Riel. And I was like, I've leveled up. Like, in the past, I kind of just got shot out and had to go my own pace from the start. So I was like, this is great. But then Hayden and Matisse kind of flew by us and it kind of blew up the group. And around that same, and I was honestly probably getting too much on the bike. I was going to the front. I was attacking up the little climbs, or not attacking, but just like moving up the pack on the climbs. I was doing too much looking back, because that day was extremely hot as well too. So Hayden and Matisse kind of caught up to us. And around that time, I just like really started overheating. And I was like, oh man, like this could be a long day. Cause it's hot in Dubai, like in November. Yeah. And it was like middle of the day. So I was like, my power on the bike was awful. That was like my worst power on the bike the whole season, surprisingly. And I was just suffering. But I think everyone else was too. It was hot. And I got off the bike and I didn't realize people had missed kind of laps on the bike. So I thought it was a group of Hayden, Martin, and Matisse. And then the second group of Mika, Sam, and there might have, who else was there? There might have been one other guy. And then Greg Barnaby was ahead of me, and I was got off the bike with Vince. So I just, you know, when it's a race like that, 18K, it's hot. You just set out on the run, and you know, I can't even look at these guys. Like, I'm just going my own pace. And luckily, I was passing guys. I was like, okay, like I'm in sixth, I'm in fifth. Wow, like one better than the last race, you know, like every race, one place better. And then I passed Mika Newt and I was like, okay, like I'm in fourth. Like this is pretty cool, like fourth place. And then I saw Matisse and Martin Van Riel. And in my mind, Hayden was just like up the road and he got the win. So I thought I was in fourth and I'm like, all right, I could get on the podium. So I catch Matisse and I don't even like, there's this miscounting laps on the run. I never even experienced that. I was just like, I counted the laps in my head. I had my watch on.
You were one of only four people who did all of the laps on the run.
Yeah. So like I came by and then at one point their motorcycle was like right in front of me. And I was thinking like, this is kind of weird. Like, why is it like, for a few seconds, but I was like, why is it following me like the whole lap? I was like, maybe because I'm like closing on Martin Van Riel, like this could be a great race for second. And Martin, who obviously had miscounted laps on the bike, he kept going that my eighth lap, it would have been his seventh lap. So in my mind, I was just chasing him. Maybe that's why I did the full eight and didn't notice him telling me to run in. And then like, so I was like, okay, like third place, because I didn't know. Coming to the last stretch, you turn right and go to the finish line. In my mind, Hayden had won. He was way ahead. Martin was in second. I was closing on him, but running out of space. And then I passed everyone else on the run. And then we turn that right. And I'm like, what is, like, I see all these guys just like packed in the finish line. And I was just like, what on earth is this? Like, and I was like, I did it. Like, what is, I was so confused. Cause in my mind, I was like, I definitely did eight laps.
Yeah,
and we finished.
You
and
did,
obviously. Yeah, I did exactly. And then we finished, and it was like, obviously, everyone knows what happens after that. And luck,
well,
like
to some extent. So, what does happen after that? Like, you guys all, like, everyone ends up in a meeting, I believe, right?
Yeah,
and it's okay.
Yeah, well, so
was it like
point,
a vote, like, for how are we going to do this? Or
yeah, I mean, I honestly like. Didn't participate in, like, I was like, it doesn't change, because at that point they were like, the guys that miscounted on the bike, that was your fault. Everyone else, it was kind of our fault, because we did have referees telling you to run in. So when people were asking me, I was like, I actually don't care, because for me, I'm getting first no matter what, which is nice. I mean, it was a bit of like, it doesn't feel like a victory, of course. I felt like I maybe deserved third. But whatever. But I was just like, it doesn't matter, because I'm getting first. Either if you go off eight laps or you go off seven, I was in the lead, and I'm just gonna stay out of it, because
right.
I just,
okay.
it didn't feel right to. I mean, I didn't cast a vote, or I might have just. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Does it sort of diminish the? You know, your first T100 win in your mind, or like that?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about?
I mean, I felt I was going to get on the podium. I felt like at third place was where I would finish, which was a huge result for me at the time. So I was still happy with the race, because I swam well. My bike, like I said, the power wasn't great, but I felt I'd worked on my position. I was more aerodynamic. I was going a bit faster. I wasn't that far. and I was able to run. So for me, I took something out of it of, hey, like I'm improving again. I'm getting third. To win, like, it's not like I was like, oh, I'm a T100 champ. Like, it didn't feel like that to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So what happens in 2026 then? Are you looking at, you know, more Olympic qualifying? Are you going back to try and win the T100 series, win more races? Are you following the Alex Yee approach and going to go run a bunch of halves and marathons and get back into the running world? It seems like there's a lot of options.
There is a lot of options. I think right now I'm still building out my season. I mean, I have a rough idea and I'll start my season in Dallas, 70.3. Dallas Little Elm or something. I signed up for the race because my goal there is to qualify for the 70.3 World Champs.
Okay.
Which is a race I want to do. I didn't do it last year. I technically qualified at Indian Wells, but I just was committed to the T100 and adding another race, more travel. I was like, okay, like let me do the T100. Let me focus on this. I do plan on doing a bunch of WTS, and I do plan on doing. I hope to do, maybe skip one T100, but then so that would be what, four more, because I think there's five per gender. So I want to do four T100s. So basically, four T100s, Dallas. It's a lot of races.
Hopefully qualify for Worlds.
Yeah, and hopefully then qualify for there, and then kind of the rest of the WTS that I can. Maybe not all of them, but yeah, like I definitely want to do a pretty good WTS season. I've been working on some of the stuff that I feel I didn't get to show last year. For example, like I was talking about, you know, my first race in Abu Dhabi last year, I'd run a half marathon a few weeks before. I was focused on that. Wasn't really in good shape triathlon wise. Then I broke my wrist. Then I went to France. I raced the T100 the day before, and then the T100 the next day, I was just smoked. I went to Czech Republic and I crashed. Not my fault either. China, I got fifth. That was the first race where I kind of didn't have any built an excuse, but I was still pretty beat up from the crash. It was only 2 weeks after and I was sore and I just left my coach and I didn't set myself up for total success. And then Wollongong was the one where I'm a little bit upset about. I just felt I had a bad run. At one point I was pretty close to making that breakaway too. So that's the one where I'm like, that's motivating me right now, you know, to get 11th. I'm better than that. My run, that wasn't a good run. And that's motivating me right now. So I'm excited for the WTS. I really enjoyed the 200 stuff. It's a distance that suits me well, I think. And I still think I have a lot of growth on the time trial bike. I'm going to the wind tunnel later this month for the first time. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be another big year. I think I can kind of play around this year and do some race. You know, I don't have to be all in on qualifying for the Olympics. I do want to keep my points pretty good. Definitely be, you know, close to the, you know, like one of the top guys in the world, but, I think I could still play around with the middle distance. And honestly, talking to my cycling coach and some other people, like, I think it's good for me, physiologically, like I'm using different muscles on the bike. I'm doing all this, endurance training. And I think it could really help. And then also mentally, I believe it'll help me because when you're just so focused on one thing for so long, I think that's tough. You can imagine if I'm just so, yeah. Oh, LA, all I care about is LA, which it's true. I care about it a lot, but I don't want to be so focused on LA for 4 years that I'm burnt out by the time we get there. If I get there.
Well, it seems like that's the, you know, Hayden Wild was very all, you know, focused on the T100 stuff this year, but he's made it, you know, clear he's gunning for LA. And Alex Yee, obviously, I think, what did he end up doing? Two or three tries and focused on the running stuff. And
Georgia, you know, Taylor,
so it seems
Brown.
Like there were a lot of folks, Georgia Taylor Brown. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Her off year, I still am struggling with that, calling that an off year. Like,
but mentally,
whatever she did, 34 races or something.
Yeah, I think it's a mindset of like, and like the Olympics is high stress. And like, I think sometimes, at least from my own experience, and this is not to take anything away from USA Triathlon, but it's like, I feel, and it could just be a me problem, that they want you to be like so committed to this. Like like everything has to be all in on the Olympics, which is like, honestly, that's great. But like, let's just be like, you said it already, getting a sponsor as a purely a WTS athlete is not an easy thing to do. You have to be really good. And by really good, I mean like probably especially for US, probably like finishing on the podium in the overall at the end of the year. Like, so there's three guys. It's hard to do. So, I'm not saying you can't get little sponsors here and there, but like, you know, getting a very good bike sponsor or something like that as a US athlete is just, it's hard. So I think there's a lot of positives to doing other races. I think this year, like, I raced a ton. You know, I broke my wrist early in the season, but I got to the end of the season. We got to Qatar, and I'm not mentally fresh, but I was just like, I could tell a lot of people were just like burnt. But I think because I had done, you know, I ran a half marathon early in this year. I'd done short course. I had done, I did a super try. I think I was mentally a little bit more fresh. And I probably traveled more than anyone. So I think that was pretty cool. And maybe something I can learn from.
Mm-hmm. I know Ben's going to ask more about sort of running and distance stuff. But just before we get there, just one last Olympic question. You know, to me, watching Cassandra win in Paris last year, I was, you know, just unbelievable. I couldn't imagine the pressure she was under to win, you know, basically in, you know, her home, I don't know if it's quite her hometown, but close enough to it. You know, assuming everything goes well and you're on that start line in LA, what can you imagine the pressure? Or, you know, what do you think that's going to be like? Or is that a horrible question to ask?
No, I understand. I think like, it's for me, I think I've matured a lot in the last couple of years, and I, you know, especially coming off Paris, I think maybe not that I was immature, but I think that's that pressure and that, it's just a lot. And I think for me right now, just again, this is maybe very cliche, but like just focusing on the process, training every day, even like we're talking about doing some different races and having, you know, enjoying it and having fun is part of the process. And I think I'm at the point now, I believe that like there will be, like, knock on wood, like, you know, there's no guarantees, hopefully I can make it there healthy and ready, but like I just feel like I'm doing everything now, in the past couple of months, I've kind of changed my mindset of like, I'm doing everything now that I can do. Like, I don't have that many, like, this will be my last Olympics. Like, there's no, I'm not even going to, I'll say it now. Like, I'm not going to go for another one. So I'm doing everything I can now. Like I don't even tell you my training yesterday. Cause it, like most people wouldn't even, they won't want to, like, I don't want to, like, it's just hard, man. Like I'm pushing myself, and my belief is, if I do that, I'm not going to feel that overwhelming pressure. Cause at the end of the day, like, you know, you've done everything.
Yeah.
The race is the race. You can't do it. Like, you can only get the most out of yourself. So for me, it's like right now in the past couple of months, I've been, dialing up I don't know what to say. I've not that I wasn't taking it serious, but I just feel like maybe coming off Paris, I just needed to dial back a little bit. Now I'm dialing it back up and taking things to a new level. And you know, we have three more years, 2.5 more years, I guess. And, you know, I think hopefully if I keep doing that, I'll be ready and then we'll see.
Mm-hmm. And then, sorry. In terms of, I mean, Kevin had already asked about the running and stuff, but and then on Instagram, you had said, I think in your last post of 2025, that you might, you mentioned Kona. So is there, you know, I guess if you're not planning on trying to qualify for Kona this year, you're not going to try to qualify before the Olympics, I would imagine. But do you, you know, want to go to Kona? Is that something you'd like to do? And then also, I mean, I want to see you run. After your 101 half marathon last year, you're like 23rd fastest in U.S. history. And I looked at the list. None of the other guys, the 22 fastest, are triathletes. it's just wild. So I want to see you just run too. I want to see what you can do. Do you have hopes, plans to do that?
Yeah. So Kona, I have to go back and forth because there is a small chance I try to go for Kona this year. You're right in saying in 2027, I wouldn't do it because it's too close to Paris. I'll be honest, there's a lot of talk of this 12 meter draft zone going to 20 meters. And I raced T100 the whole year. I got second in the final, the biggest race of the year, 20 meters. But let's just be honest, I'm leading out the swims. I'm doing the fastest runs. The 12 meters might help me. So maybe it's smart to go for Kona if it's still 12 this year and they bump it up to the following year. Mm. Let's just be honest, it could be smart. But we'll see. I think we'll see. And then in terms of running, my goal right now is to, it's a goal, of course, to try to qualify for, cause they don't even have the standards out for how to qualify for the Olympics for triathlon for US. I don't think they've published anything if there's a test event. So for example, in 2023, I qualified a year out. So my goal would be to qualify a year out, at the test event, or whether that's the grand final, that race that year, last year and this year, just, I'm getting experience, I'm racing, I'm enjoying it. But I think the test event or whatever the qualifier is would be kind of that A race that year, go all in for that. And then hopefully, maybe early next season, try to run a half marathon, 63 flat is the Olympic trials standard in the marathon for the half. Unfortunately, you can't qualify this year. It only starts next year in 2027, for the half. The window's already open, but I wouldn't run a full until, let's say I qualify for, LA a year out, the trials that winter. Hopefully I could qualify there through a half, I've broken 63. I've done 4 half marathons now. And every time I break 63, I don't see why I couldn't do that. And then hopefully at the trials, run the trials. I mean, and I'll say this, if you talk to me a year ago, the US in the past year, US marathoning, I feel like has, especially for the men, has really improved. I mean, it's just gotten a lot better. There's just a lot of guys. So I don't know if it's realistic for me to try to make the team, but being at the trials, I think would be pretty cool. And I think that would give me plenty of time to recover and then hopefully train for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's, cool. That would be, and yeah, I guess qualifying, certainly Taylor qualified in the time trial for Paris and also, but marathon triathlon double, now that one would be unique.
Yeah, Taylor's a freak.
Speaking of freaks, you weren't gonna tell us what your workout was yesterday. I'm dying to hear. Will you at least tell us how many hours a week you're training? What does that What does training volume look like for Morgan Pearson?
Like honestly, right now I'm still building back. I wanted to take a pretty good break after the race to Qatar because I hadn't really taken like a substantial break since honestly, like before Paris Olympics. I mean, I took some time off here or there, but I was just like, you know, even after Paris, I took like a kind of a down week, and then the season went, and then I did Indian Wells in December, and then I did Houston Half in January, and then it's basically I was just like I was doing kind of these mini breaks, which is fine, and but mentally I just wanted to take more of a break, enjoy some. I was just traveling around, enjoying some time with my family instead of being home for Christmas and trying to get in like an 18-mile long run or something. So I wouldn't say my volume's that impressive right now. But when I'm like really training hard, I try to do maybe like 14 hours of biking, maybe sometimes more, sometimes less, maybe 60 to 65 miles running. And then swimming, I actually swim a lot. Maybe more hours would be better, like maybe like 11 or 12 hours swimming. So okay. it's pretty serious. Probably like 30, a little over 30.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot for me. Like maybe for some, that's not that much.
No, I think that's a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot for pretty much everyone.
Yeah. Well, there's always these guys you just, yeah, you hear, yes, training, like, doesn't even make sense. You're like, how do you even fit that in a week? Like, you're, yeah, just on the bike for like,
well, and for some of those people, you have to just say, yeah, that doesn't all fit. Like,
yeah,
there's the adding 25% factor to the workout. So,
yeah.
And does that leave time for anything else? What do you do when you're not swimming, biking, running, lifting weights, planning seasons?
Doesn't leave a ton of time. But I mean, like, lately I've been enjoying, like, so I got a sauna last year, and every night I try to do the sauna, but like within there I try to just do Sudoku puzzles, which is something I'm really enjoying lately. Sudoku. My younger brother Parker got me a Lego like for Christmas, which I thought was kind of goofy, but I did it. And that was pretty fun. So I got back to Colorado and I was home alone. And I got a few more. So I've just been working on those. You know, I'll be like, most nights I'm like watching a movie or show, type thing, just really relaxing. I try to get into reading, but, it's not my, like, sometimes I'll get into a book and just bang it out, but man, it's not, I was doing math in college. So maybe read it. Like, I don't hate it, but I, it's more something I wish I liked more.
Yeah. And finally, is there, you know, we wanted to start doing a thing where we're going to ask all of the folks that we bring on, if you have a favorite workout and, you know, like, that you would think, you know, or pass on that maybe people want to do, or maybe it's too frightening for people to do.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say I have one favorite workout, but let me think of something I like doing. Like lately I've been doing, every Sunday I've been doing, like, and it's funny because I do like a brick session, but it's more, it's not too hard. Well, it's not easy, but like, so I'll have a bike workout and I'll do it on the trainer, maybe 2 hours, with interval. Like, for example, like today's Monday. So like yesterday I was doing like, it was like a 40-minute tempo and then a 25-minute tempo. So kind of like a broken hour, not 5-minute tempo. So that was nice. I mean, I'm still getting back into shape. Maybe it didn't feel as good as I would have liked. But, and then I get on the treadmill, which I, and do like some sort of threshold running. Okay. So like, it's nice, like, it's hard, but I think I really like it, and I think it's I think my runs in my run in Qatar was like, that was probably maybe my best run I've ever done off the bike. Like, I thought that was really strong. I felt really good. And yeah, some of this hard work I've been doing, I think it showed. So that was cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And do you feel like the T100 stuff ultimately, do you feel like that's what is going to help you in the Olympics? Like, I'm assuming, you know, based on all of this, the Olympics is the ultimate goal.
And yeah.
So hopefully things like the T100 and doing all the strength stuff is going to be the difference maker.
I don't know. That's a great question. I will say, like, it's given me a lot of confidence, which I think is something I lacked in short course. I think mentally I can be, you know, an overthinker type thing, as many athletes can be. And just like, even like, for example, like the swim, like, I think I'm a good swimmer and I do these, T100s, and I was first or second out of every one, you know, and it's just like, okay, it's not the level of WTS, but like, it's one thing to lead one out and then be like 10th and then be like fifth. But like, when I'm constantly like right at the front and feel in control, like, that's giving me a lot of confidence. So I'm hoping that kind of, I can bring that to the short course racing. The strength helps. This year I spent a week in Wisconsin last year, still getting used to it. I spent a week in Wisconsin at Tour Dairylands, a Tour of America's Dairylands, which is like a crit series out in Wisconsin, racing the Pro 1-2 there. I think that really helped. I mean, honestly, like in Wollongong, I was like, I almost felt like the bike was like too easy and in control, and maybe I overbiked a little bit. Like, looking at my power numbers, like, I was like, that was probably too high. And I think I was just maybe doing too much. So just doing, there's lots of, I think, you know, it, the winning a WTS, there's more, like, this is not to disrespect long course, because it's, you know, winning a T100 is equally harder, who knows, depends on the race, but there's almost like more nuance into the WTS, I'd say. Like,
yeah,
you know, and I personally feel that in the past couple of years, the racing's just gotten higher and higher level, especially on the bike. Like, I mean, when you're in the, like, maybe watching on like World Triathlon Live, you don't notice, but like when you're on the bike, it's just, there's guys who are just making surges, attacking, and like, it just creates a different dynamic. And given that I started so late in triathlon, like, I think that's always something I've kind of struggled with. So really focusing on that this past year, I think, will help me. And then just honestly, I kind of alluded to, like, I've had some health problems. So just really being consistent, gym work, all that stuff that's going to keep me healthy and make me really strong. Hopefully that helps too. And there's lots of other little things I can do as well. So we'll see. Well, I mean, we'll see. Like, yeah. I can't predict the future. I think doing the long course stuff, if more than anything, it just helps my mindset. Both giving me confidence, but also just, I'm not so, you know, there's like the, you know, the cliche saying, like, you hold on to something so tight that it like comes out of your hand. Feel like maybe that was me a little bit in short course, and now I'm enjoying other stuff, but it's still, you know, it's still traveling stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Good Life Nutrition, developed by athletes like you. Whether you are looking for race day nutrition, daily electrolytes, or your daily protein, Good Life Nutrition has you covered. Built on science and backed by common sense, it's why professional athletes like Ben Canute, Jason West, and many others have made the switch. Enjoy 25% off your first order by using promo code SLOWTWITCH. Just go to fuelyourgoodlife.com and use promo code SLOWTWITCH. We'll be right back.